This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to That Peter Crouch Podcast with me, Peter Crouch, got the Notorious SID and Chris Stark with me. Everyone okay, boys?
Very good.
Really, really good, Crouchy. How are you, more like? You're looking fresh. I'd like to say.
Not about fresh. I'm slightly mahogany. I'm away at the moment. I'm doing football escapes in Dubai. So sorry I couldn't be there with you today.
You're on an international break of sorts, aren't you?
Well, it's been an international break, hasn't it? And we did our international games last week, and I've never kind of not gone away unless I'm playing for England in that time. So just sticking with that.
Are you enjoying a couple of drinks out there as well? Is it a bit of a holiday as well, or is it strictly business?
I'm working at all times and keeping it entirely professional, but I do have a beverage in my hand at the moment.
Nice. More importantly, what's the weather been like? Because your record recently with holidays has been shambolic.
Yeah,
it has.
How's it stacking up?
Well, it wasn't great, Sid. I'll be honest, first few days, not great at all. But obviously good for the football camp that I'm doing, because, yeah, in the morning it was a bit overcast. Ab was fuming. Obviously San Marino, not too pleased with the scenario. But, yeah, it's really perked up now. And as you can see, I have caught it.
It is incredible that last few holidays, as Sid says, wherever you go, you always take the weather with you. Mm. You are crowded house. You are... It's incredible that despite you going to all these amazing countries, it starts raining wherever you go, even in places that don't experience much rain.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to visit some amazing places recently, and all of them I've had two fires, one in Greece and one in Portugal, one I had to get evacuated from. Then I've had a Thailand trip, which was in monsoon season, and then I've had a couple of other trips as well that have been rained off as well. But today, yeah, no, it all seems good at the moment. I feel like we've broke the curse.
Good. Okay.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Okay, right. So there was a load of international games. Be good to reflect those, I think, to start with. Yep. Sadly, not many points between us for our little mini league going on.
Shambolic.
I don't know where to begin. I went for a big win as well. England-Brazil, I just didn't see that one coming at all.
I thought I had the 2-2 there. I thought it was going to come in, but it was another bad weekend for us all. I mean, Starkey, you managed to pick up a point.
That's it, and that's the only thing, as someone put on Twitter, that has slightly saved the integrity of the podcast, which has been called into question over several weeks.
Yeah.
Rightly so. Absolutely rightly so. England, Brazil, no correct scores. Obviously, we all went for England. France, Germany, we all went for France. Germany beat them 2-0. I went for Ecuador, as did Sids. I think you went for the draw in the end, didn't you, Sids? But Chris had the... You had the Italy win.
Yeah, but Pete, I don't know if you remember, I think on the podcast, actually, I wanted to go Ecuador as well. So it was only by sort of forcing myself to change. I think this is it. There's been some terrible calls of late. But yeah, a point from that. That said, these international games, they are kind of hard to predict. And I guess the main question that comes from them from, say, an England fan point of view, and obviously we should give a nod to Wales, who sadly... Journey's ended for them.
Yep.
But from an England point of view, how much do you boys think that we need to read into those results?
Yeah, no, I don't read too much into them. I think, you know, it wasn't our full strength side. Obviously, there was injuries to Kyle Walker, John Stones as well, defensively. We tried people out. Harry Kane was missing. We did have... That won't be our 11. Having said that, though, I do feel you go into these games... And you want to get results and you want to test yourself against the best. And the best are Brazil, Belgium, good sides. I thought we played okay against Brazil. It was all right. But again, you know, we kind of come unstuck and it took to last minute to draw with Belgium. So although we've got injuries, I was still slightly underwhelmed by the performances, really. And certainly the results, maybe not the performances.
Yeah, I think the worrying thing is that we don't get results against the big nations, isn't it? It's a bit of the stat that was going around was pretty bad, wasn't it? That we're qualifying into tournaments really good. When we're in tournaments, we're beating teams in around us, but the top nations, we're struggling to beat, hence why we don't win competitions. Mm. So this would have been a good test for us to have done that. But also, I think sometimes it's a blessing in disguise. You know, once you don't get that performance, I think it can give you a kick up the backside.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think, don't you think the last major tournament, if I remember right, there was some poor results in the run-up to that and similar questions and ultimately, you know, came good. Maybe not as much as we would have hoped, but ended up having a really, really good run. And I guess that's what I'd like to ask you boys. Do you think with the current England setup, and it's a question a lot of people are talking about, there is the quality there and there is weirdly now an expectation to do well in this next major tournament. Is that expectation helpful or are we better being almost the underdogs?
This would be the first time I think we've gone into a tournament as favourites. At the moment, we are favourites, I believe, since 66. So, you know, it has to be... You'd like to think that the omens are with us. I look at that France team. Obviously, Brazil won't be there. You know, Belgium, I think full strength we would have beaten them. We can beat them. Germany obviously got a great result against France. We called France as the biggest danger and Germany beat them. So, yeah, of course, I still fancy us. Full strength, I still think we can win it.
Mm. Yeah, and I look at this group and I think they can take a bit of flack. I think now with the social media, that element that's always around them. I mean, with Crouchy was involved with the World Cups, with, you know, that golden generation where the press were just out to get you, wasn't they? And now I think it's all built up to, I think there's been a little spike where they've had a little bite to go, you know, I think in the last campaign, you know, it was all together, you know, this group is amazing, Southgate, whereas now there's been a little snap. But I think this group now have got a bit of experience to just go, we can deal with this off the pitch.
Yeah, there was so much chat about Bellingham as well, the way he sort of holds himself before a match, you know, when they were doing the anthems and he gave his jacket to one of the mascots, to sort of how he is on the pitch. Do you think for this next tournament, do you see, and you must have experienced this, Crouchy, where you see a clamour around certain players during the tournament, but in the run-up to it, is he the one? Now, is he the one, and should he expect that to almost magnify, you know, as we get into the Euros?
Yeah, 1,000,000%. It was the same, like we go through kind of history. There always seems to be one player that we hang our hat on. I always remember Wayne Rooney, you know, certainly in the 2006 World Cup, he broke his metatarsal, didn't he? Just in the last few, one of the last games before we went, injured for the first game. And I remember, you know, his boot or his foot being on the front of the paper, and everyone, everyone was urged to kiss it better. And I'll be honest with you, me and my family, the only ones who weren't going anywhere near it, because I was thinking, I'm going to get a sniff here. Like, if he doesn't recover from this, I'm going to be playing. So we were like, you know, obviously as much as I want Wayne Rooney, but like, we've literally hanging our hat on one player. And I think now we've got so much talent that we're not over-reliant on Bellingham, but he probably is our star, right? With Harry Kane, you know, kind of flying the flag. I mean, Jude Bellingham's the younger kind of pretender coming through and the one that we all, like, he's exciting and everyone, like, loves him because of what he's done at Real Madrid so far. But Harry Kane, obviously, such a talent as well. But, yeah, we love hanging our hat on just one player, don't we?
we do, yeah. And it seems to be him, doesn't he? I mean, he is special.
He's phenomenal. Every time he plays now, he impresses me even more. What about...
Parched? Is there a question of how parched maybe he is, or...
No, I just like you said there, the way he conducts himself, it's like he's been around the block before. He's like old head on young shoulders, and that's probably where we forget how young he is. But you know, he's a victim of his own success because he's done so well, and the performances that he's doing now, you know, he deserves to be our star man, our go-to one, and hopefully he'll bring home the goods, and we'll win a trophy.
Yeah, I mean, you just touched on it there, Chris. Talking of parched, been suggestions in a few of my DMs at the moment that you've been parching Roman Kemp.
I've been parching Roman Kemp.
Yeah. It's been raised that as when he was leaving, there was a huge parching when he's obviously leaving Capital Radio. How do you respond to these allegations?
Are there allegations now? It's a press conference. I have. It was his last week, it was just at the end of the last week of him being on the breakfast show. We do that every morning. He is leaving. And I think it's fair to parch someone in their final week of any job. And yeah, so the last week's been a real parching. I think what you're referring to, and nothing seems to kind of slip by you boys, does it? Is I changed the words of the song, The Angel, the Louis Dunford song, for Roman, and I performed it at the Emirates.
Did you actually change them words? Is that
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Have you seen it?
I haven't stopped watching it.
All right.
So you serenaded him at the Emirates.
We did our show from the Emirates, which was quite cool. It was quite cool doing the radio show from the dressing room there. And he loved it, and he's a big Arsenal fan, so it was good to do that for him. And do you know, I just thought it'd be a nice touch. I'll do the same for you, Crouchy or Sids. I'll change whatever song you want.
Yeah, something, obviously, I appreciate that, and I get that, and I understand, you know, he's been there a long time, and you obviously have to give him the proper send-off. There was something in the background of one of the pictures that I saw. It was a Stark 9 shirt, and I was tagged in a lot of pictures saying how has a left back got the number 9, and could you explain that, and maybe Sids could explain it.
so the very kind people at Arsenal, obviously I'm not a fan of the club, not that makes me sound like I'm against it, I'm not, but you know, I'm a Watford fan, and they gave me a shirt and I had my name on the back, and they asked me what number I'd like beforehand. I always go number 3 always on any kit because of Stuart Pearce, and I've always just thought he's the man, so always got number 3. However, number 3 was taken by someone else that day, so I was told, could I have another number? So I went for the 9. I was thinking, you know, some of the great number 9s, Alan Shearer, Steve Sidwell, you know, I thought it'd be a nice nod, but again, it hasn't gone unnoticed with you boys. But you're right, I shouldn't be wearing a number 9, should I? That's what you're trying to get at, Crouchy.
Listeners raised it, really.
Just talking of kits very quickly, I do think we've got to touch on it because it has rumbled on for the last couple of weeks, this. Died down a bit now, but we haven't really chatted about it. Fascinated to get your take on the little flag on the back of the
St.
England
George's
kit.
Cross.
The St. George's Cross. And I think this is the point, isn't it? If it was just a design, I would think... cool, like it's just part of the shirt, all shirts differ and stuff like that, but it's the fact that they've called it the St. George's Cross. Interesting to know your boys' kind of views on it, your take on it, what you think. And obviously there's should we just caveat, there's more important things going on in the world, yeah, right? Obviously. But even if we're just having a discussion about it, what do we think?
For me, I'm a traditionalist. I know you got to go with the times, but it is the St. George's flag. You know, we've just been there, white background, red cross. Mm-hmm. I think it still should have been the same. I get it. Look, that's, you know, there's times are forever moving, but it's a genius marketing tool from Nike, because the way it's been portrayed, it's like, okay, when, after a few days, it was like, yeah, but this could be the kit that we could win a trophy since 66. So that, obviously it's
made. Do you think they knew there'd be this whole furor or discussion?
I don't know if they thought it was going to be as big as this, but it was massive. Every radio station, newspapers, socials, it blew up massive, didn't it?
Mm. Yeah, I just think it's your flag, right? Don't mess around with the flag. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I'm all for trying different things and new things. Like, I remember when the Man United lace-up came out, and I went, oh, it's unbelievable. It was a design. It felt like it was genius. It was something new. It's exciting. You know, you can do anything with the design of the kit. But the flag, it's like what you're representing. Everything you represent as a nation is in its flag. You know, you wouldn't do that. If you did that took all the stars out, the stars and stripes for America, it wouldn't be an American flag. It's just not the same. So it doesn't make any sense. You can't change the colours. It's like Chelsea revealing their kit next year is red. You know, the home kit. It literally, Man United's new home kit is going to be blue. It's going to piss people off.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of chat about that, about people saying, you know, it's amazing how many people, you know, it's just this little flag. And I think that's the point, isn't it? If it's the cross of St. George, you can't give it what they described as a playful update. Yeah. A flag is a flag, yeah, isn't it? Yeah, but as you say,
it's literally like putting two lions on the shirt, right? And like going, you know, we're going to go with two lions this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's wrong.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's true. And I think that's it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to kind of keep that tradition or respect that.
Yeah.
You can't call it a flag. You can't. I mean, when they do that commentary at the beginning of Three Lions and it's the crosses of St. George are flying all around us, it's not purple and blue around Wembley,
yeah,
is it? It's,
yeah.
It never will be. And that's, I just think you can't mess around with the flag or the colours, unfortunately. We had it with Cardiff, you know, when they changed their colours, when the owner came in and was like, hold on a minute. And literally the Bluebirds. What's going on here? You can't change their colours.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it. But then again, we've nibbled, we're discussing it.
Yeah.
I imagine the kit sells well and everything. And in the grand scheme of things, it isn't a big deal. If it'd just been that, and it was never called a cross of St. George, we wouldn't be having this discussion, yeah, I don't think, because it probably is quite a nice design, you know?
Yeah.
But there we go.
Right, let's get into this weekend's games. We've got Brentford versus Manchester United. What are we thinking?
Well, aside from United losing the City, they've had a good run of late, haven't they? A few good games.
Yeah, they have. Brentford are struggling as well. You know, you don't know what Brentford are going to turn up. Again, you don't really know what Man United are going to turn up, to be fair. But I'm just looking at this and I'm looking in two ways. Do I go with heart? Do I go with head? Do I go with stats? Do I play a Paddy Power boost?
Yeah,
I'm a little bit all over the place, if I'm honest. I don't know what to think.
what do you think's the bigger pressure, Crouchy, Brentford in their kind of dangerously close to relegation zone, so these results really are needed to kind of keep themselves safe in the Premier League, or Man United and their position sort of at the top and what they're chasing right at the top there?
Yeah, I think Brentford struggling kind of defensively at the moment. Obviously Ivan Toney being back, he's had a good international break. I think he kind of, you know, he's done well, obviously scoring a goal, scoring a penalty, you know, put his name right in the mix. I still think United win this. I think they're on a bit of a bounce at the moment. I think Brentford have struggled at home. I always fancy them against the big teams. The crowd kind of get behind them. You know, in previous seasons, I've really kind of thought this would be a difficult fixture, especially for Man United, who expect to go to Brentford and get a result. I don't feel like it's the same Brentford of last year. And I feel like United get a result here. And I've gone United 2-1.
Oh, okay. Well, I've gone United 3, Brentford 0. So I'm going United win. Brentford have sadly conceded quite a lot of goals. They've conceded 54 goals this season. Mm. Just 4 clean sheets. Yeah, you see United goals there. It's just as you say, whether Brentford could maybe... They always seem to have this kind of romance about them where it feels they can go a goal ahead early.
Yeah,
and it'd be unsettled. But yeah, I think in this one, it's United potentially being too good. But what do we know, eh, boys? I'm going 3-0.
Not a lot at the moment. I'm going to go with you, boys. I'm going to go Man United win. I do see United scoring goals. I've actually gone 2-0 United, which is surprising because Brentford do score in games. They do, and they go the whole 90 minutes. So to say they're not going to score, Ivan Toney scored a penalty as well for England. No, I'm going to stick it. I'm going to put my neck on the line for this one, lads. I'm going to go Brentford. I'm going to go Man U 2-0, and I'm going to use my Paddy Power boost.
What does that do?
Oh, here we go.
Okay, so just to confirm, the Paddy Power boost covers all 3 games that Sid's chooses. Yeah,
you're right, George. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's massive.
He doubles points, right? So if he gets the correct score, it's a 6-point shift here.
Yeah.
But if he gets 3 correct scores, he's 18 points.
We're all complete dog shit at this. But what I will say here is I'm not letting him do that because I can't let him get away from me. So I am playing my Paddy Power boost as well. I can't let him get away because you know what? My confidence will suffer. If he gets 1 correct score, 6-pointer, goes into the lead and I'm left like rooted to the bottom.
Do you know what? I'm not going to play my bonus. If you two are going to go ahead and do that, I'm going to save mine. I'll have it in the back pocket for later in the season. So you're always looking over your shoulder.
All right then, next game, Newcastle West Ham. Good game this, I think.
Mm. No, they're all good games, but this one's, I think, is the toughest of the lot. I think these are two really close teams. West Ham, again, another one. I've backed them recently. I remember backing them against Forest and they let me down. Again, you don't know what you're going to get. David Moyes still getting a bit of stick. Is he doing a good job? The punter's not really overly happy with him, even though he's getting them through Europe. But and the same as at Newcastle. Newcastle just not the same Newcastle as last season, are they? But
scoring a lot.
They're scoring a lot.
For where they are.
Conceding a lot of goals as
conceding
well.
Conceding a lot.
Yeah. So I think this is the toughest one of the three, this game.
Yeah, no, I agree. West Ham, like you say, I still think they got dangers, they got threats. And Newcastle, as Sid says there, I don't think that they're the same side. It feels like a lottery, really, this one, because it's a bit of a toss-up to kind of decide whichever kind of Newcastle, whichever West Ham turn up. That is why I'm sitting on the fence, but I think there'll be goals. I think this will be a 2-2.
Oh, he's gone for the draw. Oh, it was actually 2-2 previously. It was 2-2 in the previous game.
3 out of 5 of the games have had 4 goals or more.
Yeah, there's been 1 Newcastle win and 1 West Ham win in this fixture and 3 draws.
So hence why you're going for the draw, 2-2.
Yes.
Okay, I think there's going to be goals in this as well, but I think Newcastle just edge it. So I'm going to go Newcastle 2, West Ham 1.
Wow, okay.
Which would have Crouchy still in the running with that, but he would need a late equaliser, I'd imagine, in that game.
On double points, of course, because of the boost. This is huge. I'm going to go West Ham 2, Newcastle 1. So we've got it all covered here, boys. Both sides in a draw. The integrity of the pod, short of this game being cancelled because of, I don't know, waterlogged pitch or something, the integrity of the pod will remain for another week. But all to play for.
Certainly is. Right, and we're going into the next fixture. This next part of the podcast is supported by Paddy Power. It's their big weekend fixture. And this is Manchester City versus Arsenal. It's a cracker.
Now, this is a big one. This is a big one. I just see a stat here. City have not lost at home to Arsenal in the Premier League since 2015. Now, there's a couple of ways you could look at that. I mean, Arsenal have been pretty pony in that time.
I love it. Arsenal have been pretty pony.
Well, that's the one on the caption, isn't it, this week?
Sidwell quote.
No, in that time, I mean, around 2015 to 2020, they've not really been in the running, have they? But Arteta has got them going at the moment. So I'm not sure if that stacks up. Rumours of a few injuries as well to City with the international players, John Stones,
Walker. But how much, I've not looked into this, but is the Kyle Walker one real?
It's been, honestly, right, when I was playing for England, the amount of times there'd be players that didn't turn up for their country and then you'd play them on Saturday and you'd be like, oh, I wonder if they're fit. They're fucking brilliant on Saturday. You're like, hold on a minute. You know, I'm not naming, you know, one particular club, but, you know, they wear red and they're Manchester United.
I think we should do this with Crouchy, a bit sort of couple of drinks in, loose on holiday more often.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. Definitely.
No, it was a scandal. You'd be like, oh, you know, and you'd see them all go home, you know, like with their little knee braces on. And you'd think, oh, God, you know, we haven't got Scholes, Beckham, Rio. You know, they're all out. And then bang, they're all playing. Full 90 minutes. Absolutely tank you and you'd go home.
This is such a hard one to call, isn't it? And obviously I've got Arsenal on the brain because obviously, as you put earlier, Crouchy, I was parching Roman Kemp at the Emirates this week.
What was it like down at the Emirates when you were parching?
Well, I mean, I was there at sort of 7 a.m, so there was I could do the whole, it was better atmosphere than normal. But I'll tell you what's amazing is, so my understanding is Arteta has a say in the design of the dressing rooms and all that. And you know when you see the documentary and he's there running around the dressing room with a light bulb and doing all that. It is amazing when you're in there and you see on the walls, it's all just words. It's like, you know, like persistence and
passion,
like passion. Yeah. And yeah, I took a picture of one of them. I thought this was quite a nice touch. We should have this for the podcast, actually. I took a picture and on the wall it says, are non-negotiables.
Mm.
And they are discipline, leadership, compete and dominate. And I think moving forward with the podcast, we should have the same non-negotiables or design our own. Maybe we'll do that in another pod.
Yeah, let's design our own.
Yeah, I think we could maybe design our own because discipline, we're going to struggle with, you know, professionalism, again.
Let's go through these, Crouchy. Discipline.
Not great, I'll be honest. The discipline here, I mean, you were late. I'm not even fucking there.
And Sid has got to go quite shortly.
Sid has got to shoot off at 2.
All right, leadership. Well, you're not here, as you put it. You're in.
Fucking hell, my name's on the door. There's no leadership, is there?
Okay, compete. I think we do all right. We hold our own.
Yeah, compete. I think we can compete at a good level.
And dominate, I'm not so sure.
No, we're not dominating, but we're competing. We're, you know, for a Champions League spot.
Imagine Arteta running this podcast. It would be amazing to see. Like maybe we can arrange it. You never know. All right, back to the football. Like, huge game this. Obviously, implications with the league. Everyone understands where we're at with that. Can you see City fumbling this?
I do think it's up for grabs. I do. City are strong favourites, 3-4. Tenner gets you £17.50 return. Arsenal, 16-5. Tenner will get you £42. So, obviously, City strong favourites at home. You can go for a big City win, 3-0. It's 12-1, which is decent because the City could do it to anyone. But I just think what Liverpool did to them and what Arsenal are doing to teams, they can't be discounted.
I mean, Arsenal did beat City, though, 1-0 back in October.
Yeah.
You know, beating Liverpool. They are a force this year.
Is there anything in the whole sort of bank holiday feel of it as well? Fans are going to be I mean, they're going to be up for it already, but is there anything in that, the sort of timing of this fixture?
It's difficult for me, Chris, because I'm in Dubai and I didn't even know it was a bank holiday.
Every day is a bank holiday for you right now, isn't it?
I'm having the time of my life. So hopefully you have a great bank holiday, guys. But I know I will.
Okay. Well, should we call this then? Are you, because you're in Dubai, you're sort of Middle East way, do you have to back City as part of the deal with appearing on the podcast today? Or
Yeah, it would have been if I was in Abu Dhabi, but I've just got away with it. Obviously, the Emirates sponsor Arsenal, so I am going for Arsenal, as I am.
To our friends at Emirates.
Hold on a minute, though, because if Etihad want to get in touch with us, I am willing to change that, you know, and any of our Saudi friends who are listening as well, please get in touch.
Are you saying you're going towards Arsenal? Are you leaning towards Arsenal then?
Well, I only said that because I'm here, but then I'm not being swayed by cheap flights.
I would be.
Oh, no. Listen, if they get in touch, I would be. But at the moment, they haven't got in touch. I'm going to go with Manchester City on this one. I think it'll be tight. And I think Arsenal will give... I think it'll be another one of those classic games. I thought the Liverpool-United game was such an amazing kind of advert for the Premier League. And I just hope this game is the same. It's just so many... Such two great teams to watch. I just think City too strong, personally. Especially at home. And I've gone for a City 2-1 win.
Okay. What would you go for?
All right. I'm going to go the other way on this. I just see this last-minute goal. I really hope it's a classic. If it's this scoreline, it will be. I'm going to go City 2, Arsenal 3.
Wow.
Yeah. That's epic. I don't know, man. There's just so much that makes this game, like, there's so much on it. The whole Arteta, Pep situation, this bit of the season, Arsenal are scoring silly amount of goals. There's a big confidence there. And you know where Pep has that slightly sort of worried face?
Yeah.
City are amazing. I don't give a... You know where he... I don't know. There's just something about this. I just feel it in the waters. But I don't know. We'll see. But I'm going to back Arsenal anyway, 3-2.
That's some game that... Well... I'm not parching here. I'm going straight in, and I think City blow Arsenal out the water. I'm going to go City, Man City 3, Arsenal 1.
Oh, 3-1.
Well, what you need to be nervy about, Crouch, is the fact you're bottom of the league at the moment and currently liable to a forfeit at the end of the season if it remains that way. Double points for both the lads this week if it comes good for them. All to play for. This could have massive implications on that league this weekend.
Right, the odds are correct at the time of recording. Please gamble responsibly.
Sorry, lads, just on Easter weekend, someone asked me this other day, Easter eggs. Are you a fan of Easter eggs, I take it? Yes?
Yep.
Yeah. What are we doing with your Easter eggs? Are we hunting them. Are they in the fridge? Are they cold? Are they room temperature? Is it the all-in-one motion? You're just... taking the whole lot down? Are you saving half?
It's a great point. I'm normally cupboard and then to fridge.
Always covering the top topics here. For me personally, I think you've just come straight off the back of Man City Arsenal to Easter eggs. No other podcast does it. My personal preference is not in the fridge. Like Abby, we clash on it big time. I like it just left room temperature. I said, what's wrong with room temperature? I don't want a chocolate egg, you know, rock hard. It's not for me.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's disappointing. I'm in the fridge, cold, take it out, break it all up, leave it in the wrapper, cup of tea, and it's getting dispatched all in one.
And what's your egg? Tell me your egg.
Well, it would probably be a dairy milk. Dairy milk would be the one to go to. I've been going to a Yorkie Easter egg, which isn't great chocolate, but yeah, dairy milk anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris, do you barbecue yours?
I might I might have to give it a go.
John the Barbie, low and slow.
Listen, Easter weekend, I've ordered a silly amount of meat that's actually arriving next couple of days for a hefty weekend of barbecuing. All sorts on there, mate.
Love that.
Right, a couple of messages here. We've been inundated with Chris Stark's parching and the fact that he's got a number 9. But there's also a message here, well, a tweet from Rafe Rovers Football Club. Liam Dick has signed a contract extension, keeping at the club for until June 2024. Liam's strong defending and versatility has been vital in his 80 appearances for the club. But the headline on it is a Dick extension.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's extended his contract, has he?
Dick extension.
Is it a lengthy one, did it say?
It's not extended for that long. Keeps him in the club till 2024, so it's not a huge extension.
Do you know what's funny as well? Like, this is so, obviously, it's incredibly childish.
It's not a huge extension. He just had a little bit put on.
They know what they're doing. But equally, I've just seen this as well. I just searched his name up on Twitter and turns out when he scores a goal, they do a similar thing. So there seems to be, like here, it shows one of his goals. It says 62 minutes, goal for Wraith. Dick heads home.
Dick heads home. That's like what Ab says when I walk through the door. That's the problem here, right? Is that he's probably had this his whole life, right? You can't have his football club doing tweets like that. They know what they're doing. It's not right. I mean, he's had it his whole life. It's not nice for Liam.
Yeah, I mean, even the hashtag, you belong, like, you...
Oh, I see what you mean, like three words, rather than...
You belong.
Who's the social media person at Rafe Rovers? We need to get in touch with them. This is it's outrageous. You belong. Can't say that. All right, let's move on. Chris, have you been in touch with Susie Dent again?
I have, yes. We've been doing this of late. So there's so many terms that are just really common in football commentary. And we sort of say them, but you only really say them in terms of football. You don't really say them in other kind of areas of your life and that. So we're getting her to define some of these because she's sort of the intelligent voice. She's like the voice of words. Mm. Is that fair to say, boys? Yeah. That's how you describe her kind of thing. I've got another one from her here. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, please. I've really enjoyed these.
Hi, team. Well, thanks for all your suggestions last week for things that I should look into. Love Daisy Cutter and Hat Trick. Definitely waxing lyrical. And I'll do my best for some of those chants as well. But this week's expression is bottle, as in someone's got a lot of bottle. If they've got a lot of guts and determination, or they might bottle it if they lose their nerve or fail at the last minute when success seems to be in the bag. But what may not be known is what a bottle has to do with it in the first place. Well, the straightforward answer is that it riffs on an earlier expression from the 19th century, and that was no bottle, which meant useless, no good for anything. But the more popular explanation for bottle is a lot more colourful, and it involves an inventive piece of Cockney rhyming slang. So this began as the secret language that emerged amongst market traders in the 19th century, and it was designed as a code to keep the authorities and, well, any outsiders, essentially, in the dark, to keep them out. And most of us know some of it, so apples and pears for stairs, Hampsteads for teeth, Hampstead teeth, Not Scooby for Not Scooby-Doo clue, and Barnet for hair, Barnet Fair hair. And bottle and glass is on that list too, but it's less familiar. I think if you had to guess, you might think bottle and glass was rhyming slang for class, but you'd be wrong because bottle and glass is rhyming slang for arse. And bottle and glass became bottle, as in he's lost his bottle, or bottling it. And the implication of both of those is that your arse has fallen out and you've lost control of more than the game. If you've got a lot of bottle, you have got a lot of guts, essentially. And there's a little footnote here as well, because if you've ever heard someone talk about their aris, that too is their bum, because aris is short for Aristotle, which is rhyming slang for bottle, which is short for bottle and glass.
Aristotle, arse. Bottle, arse.
It's like some giant word puzzle. So there you go, the probable history of having a lot of bottle or bottling it, and how it's a pretty good thing we don't mean it literally.
It's true, though, because I just assumed bottled it was kind of like you've not, no. It's overspilled, like you've not been able to.
No, I knew that.
So you knew it was.
Yeah. I knew bottle glass. Was, yeah, bottle was, yeah.
I knew that. I knew that as well, to be fair.
But Susie's basically saying bottled it is like your arse has fallen out.
Yeah, I mean, Sid has said it so eloquently on this podcast, isn't it? Your arse has fallen out.
I mean, I don't know whether I say this, but. If you see someone sees a female, maybe that's got a nice shaped bum, they might say, look at the bottle on there.
Oh, really?
So, Sid, are you saying you've never said that?
No, he's saying one might say.
It's getting hot in here. Who set the aircon off?
I've never heard, do you know, genuinely, I've never heard someone say that. Have you, Pete?
You haven't been in Sid's company enough then.
Look at the bottle on that. Try that one on Abs. Just when Abs next walks through, just test it out. See if I've never heard of that.
Must just be me.
I think she'd understand. If I walked past and said, look at the bottle on that, I reckon, yeah. I mean, it's pretty, well, I've heard it a lot. I don't know if that tells me about the company I keep or not, but at least we know the history of it all now anyway, if someone does say that in your company.
Oh, dear me. Sorry about that.
Thank
one.
You, Susie, anyway.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Susie. Yeah, thank you very much. Hopefully we'll have some more of that next week. Enjoyed that today. Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Hopefully I'll be back stronger very soon.
Thanks to our friends at Emirates.
Or Etihad. This episode is brought to you by aloadofpricks.net. We are the experts in selling houses. Chris couldn't sell his house. What did you do, Chris?
I couldn't sell my house for love nor money, Crouchy. Three different offers I had, all at the last minute, fell through. I turned round to my wife and said, what can we do to sell this house? Every estate agent is failing us. Then I told her, let's go to aloadofpricks.net.
But Chris, what did a load of pricks do for you?
They were brilliant, Crouchy. They sold my house right away. The sign had barely gone up when a well-dressed gentleman came along and offered me twice the asking price.
Chris, would you use a load of pricks again?
I'd use them every time, Crouchy.
Go to loadofpricks.net. They will sell your house like no other. Load of pricks, loadofpricks.net.